This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. In 1977, students at the Langley School District in British Columbia gathered in a gymnasium to sing.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitation. I'm bucking up good vibrations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitation. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitation.
This song and others were pressed onto an old LP and sold to students and faculty in the Langley School District. The students of Langley were rock stars of a kind, shooting stars, if you please, until their LPs got put onto closet shelves or bundled away, abandoned or discarded, along with old comic books, forlorn stuffed animals, and the other remnants of childhood. Now the stars of Langley, BC, sing and shine again on a new CD called Innocence and Despair, the Langley School's Music Project. The CD features recordings made with Langley students in both 1977 and 1976. Joining us now is the man who taught those youngsters how to sing and to play their instruments, Hans Fenger, who started teaching for the Langley Schools in 1974. He will retire from teaching next year after a 25-year career there in the public schools. Mr. Fenger's in the studios of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in Vancouver. Mr. Fenger, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
There is just such an ineffable sound of wistfulness when you hear this.
Well, yes, for me especially, because it brings back a lot of memories of being there.
What brought this music back? I mean, did you just reach under a sofa and find it or something?
Well, it's kind of a strange story. It's a story which has a lot of synchronicity in it. Last year, somebody from Victoria, British Columbia, found the album in a thrift shop, and he had been listening to, I suppose, on the internet, to a radio station in New York that tended to play offbeat music, non-commercial music. He sent it into that radio station. The radio station played one of the cuts from the LP, and apparently the listener response was overwhelming. The disc jockey of the radio station got a hold of me and started talking to me about it, and I said, oh, well, I happen to have another one that I recorded the following year, and I sent him that one, and he liked that one very much too. And from then on, it sort of snowballed into a little bit of a phenomenon.
You don't have a tour bus yet, do you?
I don't have a tour bus, and Madonna hasn't called me.
Well, no. just a matter of time, I'm sure. And if we could see a picture of you back when you were you're giggling. I'm imagining some reference to hair is involved, or a mustache, bell bottoms.
Well, you know, I mean, I looked like a rock musician. You know, that's what I was, and you know, it looked like, yeah, you had long hair, you had a mustache, you had all those kinds of clothes, and I mean,
bell bottoms. I mean,
bell bottoms, sure. Mm-hmm. Sandals. I mean,
corduroy, you know, jacket for special occasions.
Oh no, never corduroy jackets.
Really?
Never. No, I had velvet, crushed velvet.
Oh, okay, that would have been my next choice.
Sure.
Maroon or burgundy colored.
Exactly, you got it.
Let's listen to another Beach Boys tune that your students sang at the time. This is In My Room. Now, was this a message song for your 9, 10, 11-year-old students?
Well, it was a message song, but I think it was a message that they intuitively understood. I mean, I didn't teach it as to say, oh, there's a message to this song. There's nothing esoteric about the concept of being in your room and being alone, feeling safe and secure there. And I think that children just naturally sort of understood that. And I tried to find material that was a little bit more philosophical in nature rather than the standard children's songs, which tended to be more descriptive or tended to be about, you know, animals or peace in the world and that sort of thing. And I was more interested in children singing songs that were more introspective and more philosophical.
Mr. Finger, what did it mean to these youngsters to hear themselves on a record?
You know, at the time, I thought it was they were very thrilled by the whole process. It was unusual. It was something that happened in their life that was out of the ordinary. It's like anything in school. I mean, a field trip in school is exciting because you're out of school that day, and making a record was something that was different. It was a unique experience for them, so it was a very exciting experience. And now, reading the email I get from ex-students since this all has happened, you know, it's amazed me what a profound effect it's had on a lot of them. They remember so many of the details that I've forgotten, actually, and they all say what a great experience it was in school and how much fun, really, they had doing it.
What are some of the details they recall that maybe had escaped you over the years?
Oh, they recall when I would get into a bad mood. And, of course, what they were much better at is they could recall each other. So, you know, it's been a lot of students since 1977. And they, of course, were much more into who played the drums and who played that bell and who did that and who stood beside me when I sang that. So they were much more able to recall those kinds of details, whereas for me... with the exception of a few of the children, it all kind of blurred in my mind a little bit.
Let's hear, I've got some questions, musical questions. Old Stevie Nicks song, Rihanna. Mr. Finger, what instrumentation?
Well, you know, it's you may do with what we had.
Well, what did you have? What do we hear there, for example? Cymbals, obviously, but it's almost like an old, you know, something you would hear in like an old retail store when somebody wanted the floor manager to come over.
That was it. You got it. Well, those instruments actually were xylophones, and they were part of a music teaching method called ORF music. Which I knew very little about. And so I just simply used the instruments in a different way. And we had one cymbal, and because I had played in bands, I had an old bass guitar and a gigantic amplifier. I brought that in and basically taught the child to play one string bass. I didn't really trust them with more than one string. And then the nice thing with xylophones, you could often take off the notes that didn't fit into the chordal structure. So it became...
Oh, so they couldn't hit a wrong note.
Well, they couldn't hit a note that didn't harmonically fit. And then the cymbal, of course, and the charming thing when I listen back to it now is just how he's just slightly off beat, which makes it almost sound like it swings. And I tended to do the arrangements sort of as we went along. I didn't really think of them beforehand. It was it very much came out of my head at the time.
Mm. Did you ever perform in public, you and the youngsters?
Oh, yeah. We performed in public a number of times, and at the concerts at school. And, you know, they were very, very successful concerts at the time. The parents really enjoyed it a lot. And, yeah, we performed not so much in the community, but we did perform at school.
About a couple of there are a couple of notable solos on the CD that has been cut from your LPs. a nice version of The Long and Winding Road, the old Beatles song, and I want to ask you about this rendition, old Eagles tune, Desperado.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences so long now. Well, you're a hard one, but I know that you've got your reasons. There's things that are pleasing you and hurt you somehow. To draw the queen of diamonds, boy, she'll beat you if she's a boy. The queen of hearts is always your best bet. Now it seems to me some bad things have been laid upon your table, and you only want things you can get.
Awfully nice version. Who sang it, Mr. Fenger?
Sheila Beeman.
And Sheila Beeman's there with you, isn't she?
She is.
She's joined you in the studio. Ms. Beeman, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
What does it make you feel to listen to that again?
It's... my melancholy is the first thing that comes to mind.
Melancholy? Why?
Well, I don't know. Well, I know why, but... I mean, it was the 70s here, so.
You mean, remind you of your youth, remind you of your innocence?
Well, the majority of us in the 70s came from troubled families. So, maybe it was a reflection of that.
So did this music let something out in you, do you think?
Oh, yeah, it was a great avenue. It was, you know, soul food. We couldn't get enough of it. Mm. But it's too... express our torments.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? Come down from your fences, open the gate. It may be raining, but there's a rainbow above you. You better let some
Ms. Beeman, you said pretty candidly that you were a troubled kid, had a troubled childhood, let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Did music help shine a light out of that murk for you?
No, I think it maybe got me in touch with a part of myself that may have been dormant and I would have never discovered otherwise. So, yeah, it's better in the sense that I have a better sense of myself. But I think after Hans left it, you know, that pretty much just went, you know, it was gone. So,
Mr. Fenger, you left the school?
Yeah, I did leave the school, yes. I left in 1979. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to go back to playing in a band. And when I came back to teaching, I went back to teaching in Vancouver.
But what's it like for you to hear that you helped a student in a direct and personal way?
Well... you know, I mean, it's a bit of a cliche about teaching, you know, that that people say that teachers can often be the most important person in a person's life. And, you know, teaching is a helping profession. And I'm just really so gratified that I was able to do something to help other kids. And you can't help but be really pleased.
Ms. Beeman, is there a particular song on this LP you'd like us to play?
How about God Only Knows?
If you should ever leave me, for life will still go on, believe me.
there's something about this song that is just drilling itself into my heart at this point, and to hear those young voices raised that way.
Well, that's nice to hear. I mean, it's you know, the album comes out exactly during this time of really horrific world events and events in the United States, and it seems like it all, you know, without putting too fine a point on it, it seems like it's all a very, very karmic and cosmic thing. You know, I'm kind of beyond words with it at this point.
Well, it's been nice talking to both of you.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
Ms. Beeman, thank you very much, too.
Thanks for having us, yes.
Hans Finger is a music teacher in Vancouver, British Columbia now, and in the mid-1970s, he recorded his music students in the Langley School District. These recordings are now available on a CD called Innocence and Despair, the Langley School's Music Project. Sheila Beeman was one of Mr. Finger's students. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed this week by Chad Campbell, edited by John Buckley, and produced by Charlie Mayer, Peter Breslow, Sarah Byer, Kelly, Bridget McCarthy, Darcy Bacon, Ed McNulty, Athena Desai, Tom Bullock, Jane Lindholm, and Andrea Schneider. Our technical director is Carlos Gomez, so ably assisted by Stu Rushfield, Manalita Wetherill, Roger White, Greg Gavin, Burke Hun, Chris Nelson, and Paxson Laird. Our librarians are Kim Oleski and Sally Robertson. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman. The executive producer for Weekend News is Paul Brown. Our senior editor is Gwendolyn Tompkins, and the senior producer of Weekend Edition Saturday is Sean Collins. I'm Scott Simon.